Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 81, and today we're going to have Cody Bradford's going to join us, left-handed pitcher for the Round Rock Express. But first, we're going to talk some big league stuff. Look, we're doing this one kind of early. You know, it would have been real easy for us to go, hey, let's skip this week. You have something you have to go do. You were traveling, but Cody was freed up for us, so we're going to do a quick one turnaround on a Monday after we had already done one Friday. So some of these numbers we go through when we go through all of them.
Yeah, but there's always new stuff.
There's always new stuff. Yeah. For instance, Jacob DeGrom has thrown again.
Yes.
And he was, someone told me today, he can't win a Cy Young if he's giving up home runs to someone on the Oakland A's. And I was like, do you think that every Cy Young winner ever never gave up a crappy home run to someone on a crappy team? I mean, what's the heck? But man, he was good.
Yeah, you know, he's, it's just different. You know, it's just different. The Rangers haven't had a pitcher like him, you know, it just looks like it's effortless, but it's like so meticulous in his preparation. You know, he left his start in Kansas City. He felt like he could have probably kept going, but he didn't want to screw up his mechanics.
Right.
And so you can respect that, but it's just so good. And, he's got 101 whenever he wants it. He said something after the start Sunday that his changeup was really good. And he said, when my changeup is good, that means my mechanics are good. So that's kind of an interesting way to look at things. But as we get to know him, but, he made a bad pitch. And Shay Langeliers, who was a first-round pick, went to Keller High School, went to Baylor.
Right.
9th or 10th overall pick in the great 2019 draft.
Right.
Yeah, he's going to hit a home run. That's fine. You know, and Jacob DeGrom
These are professional baseball players.
He has given up a home run before.
Yeah.
And so, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. Look at the big picture. One.
He Jacob took it out on the next five batters.
Yeah, he struck out the next five. He is healthy. That was the most important thing going into this, and that's why he only went six innings. He left. He feels great. His next start's going to be against the Yankees, so that'll be interesting.
That'll be fun.
I'm sure that'll be a – I'm going to be out of town. I'm sorry. I'm going to miss the circus that's going to come to town with that one. But it's just like I said. It's just different, and it's must see. It's worth the price of admission. You go to a game, you pay for the ticket, you watch, and you just sit there and realize the Rangers haven't had this at least since Nolan Ryan.
Right.
You know this style of pitching. They've had very good pitchers, but they haven't had a power guy who can just make hitters look foolish.
They haven't had a guy. Nolan Ryan was this way, and I was a young man. I wasn't a kid, so I'm not like the kid that watched Nolan Ryan and thought he was great.
Yeah.
I watched him as an adult. Nolan Ryan, Jacob DeGrom is a lot like Nolan Ryan in that I don't care if he walks a batter or not. You don't feel like, oh, crud, someone's on base. Here we go. Something started. He's capable of getting anybody out.
Yeah.
He's got the arsenal to do it. As far as the injuries things go, look, you know, he goes the other day, his wrist is weird. And he said something that was, if you think about it now, was genius. He said, I don't want to throw my mechanics off. I didn't know exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And I've said this, and I'll say it again. Even if the wrist wasn't hurt, coming out after 80 pitches in six innings when you've gone up and down six times, you're up by two runs, and you're basically controlling the game against the Oakland A's, that might have still happened even if not, for the simple fact that this is not a guy who's thrown 150 innings in the last 2 years. He's had some injury.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, once you get to 150, look, he's probably going to pitch 150 at least probably this year or close to that. You don't want this guy wore out by the time that 150 hits, get into a dead arm period or something to that effect. If you can pull him back and go, you know what, we'll just save it for later, why not? I mean, he had gone up and down six. It wasn't the fourth inning in that pitch count of 80. They let him go six innings, and he's like, I've got a bullpen that's ready to go. I've got the guys I want out there. I say go for it. I had no issue. If he had a no-hitter going, of course he's going to stay in there. You know, if it's a one-run game or they're tied, he's probably, if he's cruising after those five strikeouts and what he's doing, yeah, he probably stays in. But you're up by two runs on Oakland. You got a bullpen ready to go. Absolutely. Let's not just throw another 20 pitches sure. to do it.
Well, and you know, you mentioned walks. He doesn't walk anybody.
No, he doesn't.
He's struck out 43 guys this season. He's walked three.
Right.
Okay. And that's been done six other times in baseball history. And he was the last one to do it. And they've all been done since 2001, which probably speaks to the way baseball is trending as far as offense is concerned. But
right.
It's just, he doesn't hurt himself. Unless it's a hanging pitch.
Right.
But the guy who was on base, hit his way onto base, hit a single on a, on a 3-1 pitch. But yeah, I mean, you know, you're not going to go walk, strike out, walk, 3-run homer. He does not hurt himself. And that's the thing that amazes everybody about him is they've seen 100 miles an hour before. They've seen nasty sliders, but they haven't seen somebody who commands them and throws as many strikes with them
as
DeGrom. And so that's kind of what separates him. That's what makes him special is that he is always around the strike zone. And you know, so hitters have to choose. Am I going to wait for the fastball? Am I going to try to sell out on the slider? And they both, you know, they look the same, and then all of a sudden, boop, slider, and you're done. So it's
a 93 mile an hour slider.
Right. It's just, you know, talk about all the changes the Rangers have made the last couple of years. And again, Jacob DeGrom has proven to be fragile the last couple of years, but if he's healthy.
Yeah, but they weren't fragile like he didn't feel good and it was stupid. I mean, he had the scapula injury.
Yeah, I mean, he's been hurt.
He got hurt, right. Yeah.
So that's a concern going forward, and it's always going to be. But while he's still on his two feet and not on the injured list, and hopefully he won't be, go out and watch it and just marvel in what amazing. It is, because it's something the Rangers haven't had in most fans' lifetimes, the Rangers haven't had. Well, maybe not most, but in a lot of fans' lifetime, they haven't had
it. It wasn't. And when I referenced Nolan would walk a guy, I think, because Nolan never had a perfect game.
Right.
And the reason Nolan never had a perfect game, first of all, he had no pitch count back then. He could just throw 300 pitches if he wanted to. But when he got going in a game, if he wasn't sure, he didn't feel right about somebody, he would nibble around the corners and not throw anything over the plate. And if he walked him, he walked him. Yeah. He didn't care. And then you just go after the next one.
He is the major league leader, all-time leader in walks, in addition to strikeouts.
And I think he did that kind of on purpose. But there is an
art to pitching around, guys, sure.
Absolutely. But DeGrom, right, I said it like DeGrom's only guy that got on base with a walk. No, it was a single.
Yeah.
But when someone gets on DeGrom, you don't feel like, okay, oh, crud, are we getting something started here? They figured something out. Nope, somebody made a good hit. They got it. And he seems to even focus more after that and attack the next guy. And, man, he works quick. Good Lord, he works quick. Yeah. Now, you were also there. Jeff went all weekend. I went Friday night. I wasn't there Saturday and Sunday. But you got to see the 3 home runs, 2 doubles. I mean, Adolis Garcia – my wife was just, she loves him. She thinks that's her favorite.
Yeah. He's a specimen. I mean, he's
it was great.
We've asked some minor leaguers who would you want on your side in a street fight. I don't know why anybody would not answer Adolis Garcia. You know, he was a wrestler in Cuba for one. And my dad always told me never mess with wrestlers.
Yeah, and they'll get you in some kind of hole.
Sounds like he spoke from experience. But then he's just so ripped. He's so big. His arms are as big as my thighs. And but anyway, he hit 3 home runs. He had 2 cracks at a 4 homer game. Kind of glad he didn't get it off the position player.
Yeah.
Then he would have been like, oh well, does it really count? Like hell yeah, it counts.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was at Josh Hamilton's 4 home run game, and that's still the most impressive thing I've seen. You know, it wasn't just 4 homers. It was 4 homers and a 1-hop double off the wall. He hit one to left. He went to right, 2 to center.
Yeah.
All 2-run homers. Elvis Andrus was on base every time. there are only 18 4 home run games. There's 23 perfect games, I believe, or what officially count as perfect games, like the Harvey Haddix game when he went into 12 perfect and then lost it in the 13th. That doesn't count as a perfect game.
But, right.
It's a rare feat. It's incredibly hard to do. You know, the first double he hit the ball 107.5 miles an hour. I mean, it was just a sizzling line drive. It's not like he
Was that his fourth at bat?
Fourth at bat, fifth plate appearance. Anyway, he's that game, 8 RBIs put him into the MLB RBI lead. He's very productive.
Yes.
He may not be hitting for a great average right now. I think it's around 250, but he's
253 last time I saw.
The damage he's doing is pretty good. And that kind of leads us into what, you know, we're approaching the 1 month mark,
right,
on the season. It'll arrive this weekend. It'll be over by the time this hits the air, but we've got a month's worth of baseball, Rangers baseball, under our belts. And I think we've talked for sure about one of the highlights being DeGrom. What have you liked? What have you liked about these Rangers so far?
I'll tell you what, DeGrom, as much as DeGrom, you may look at that and go, that's the best signing of the offseason, or, you know, any of the pitchers that they did or whatever they did. I think Bochy might be the no knock on Woodward, who I've defended till my heart is blue, but Bruce Bochy has been, the way he has worked the bullpen has been great. I mean, you talk about knowing when to put who into what. I mean, you don't know who the closer is every night.
Yeah.
And whoever comes in, he knows what he's doing when he gets them in there. And that's why he felt good pulling DeGrom out. Mm. But this is a team, as a fan, what have I liked the most? I like the fact they're sitting in first place right now. Yeah. Now, look, this season they're going to go through a stretch where they lose 7 out of 10. That's going to happen. Right. It happens to every team. In doing that, they're 1-1 in one-run games. They've only had 2 one-run games.
Yeah.
I'm the official counter of that. I'm going to keep up with that as the year goes on. But I as a fan, you can't sit here. Even the loss. I tell you what I liked. Another thing, you go out and you have a bad loss on Friday night. You go out, you get up 4-0. You shouldn't have lost that game. Evaldi was never, I mean,
John Gray
was never good that night. He admitted it, and what a great response he had after the game and doing that. You end up a tough loss like that, and you know what good teams do? They come back the next day and they kick the shit out of somebody.
Yeah.
And they beat the living crap out of them, 18-3.
Right.
They just took it to them like, you know what, don't get your big head over here. Yeah. We're the better team right now. That's what good teams too, and they took it into the weekend and just basically controlled the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, you know. But
any big league team can beat anybody.
That's true.
The Kansas City Royals can beat the Tampa Bay Rays.
The Royals beat the Rangers. So, you know, it happens. It's baseball. All right, things I like, and I'm going to go a little more, more focused, more individualized. Although, I will say, it's very good that none of the starters who opened the season are on the injured list.
That's a big check mark.
That's a good one. Pitching health check.
Yes.
Dane Dunning and Cole Reagans.
Wow.
You know, they were great in spring training, but as starters.
Right.
You know, they did do some relief work. It was, you know, it was kind of to keep him stretched out, but also to see what that might look like. They've been very good. They've handled the transition seamlessly. I wrote about it in the Sunday Read at rangerstoday.com. $5.99 a month, $35 for 6 months, $60 for a year. You need to subscribe. I mean, this team's good. This isn't like the last couple of years. Go and subscribe and keep up with the Rangers, with us, because we're cheaper than anybody.
Yep.
Cheaper than anybody.
And we cover it from top to bottom. It's daily, and it goes – this podcast goes year-round.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it's maybe 2 weeks, 3 out of the year that maybe we don't do it, and that's because we do have families and we do vacations. Right. But this goes every week, and a lot of them will shut down for the winter. Yeah. One of my favorites are good friends of ours that do another podcast, but they don't really go during the winter at all on Diamond Pod and all of those, and that's fine. I mean, they've got they do that, but we go. We want to cover news.
Yeah.
Every week to do it.
Okay, so we like the health. We like the two long guys, quote unquote. Josh Young has been very, very good.
Yes.
You know, after
right now he's rookie of the year.
After what he did last year, you saw him come up and chase a lot and hit 200, and now he's not doing that. He's probably still striking out more than he'd like. But it's been very good offense, very solid defense. I think that needs to be mentioned. I like Jonah Heim. Jonah Heim's been very, very good. He's hit a lot of balls far. He's just missed a lot of balls. His average is up over 300 going into the game Sunday, and it might have finished above 300. So that's very good. And then I'll give you another one. Marcus Semien. who started off so poorly last year.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You know, was hitting under 200 for basically most of the first 2 months. Didn't hit his first home run until May 28th. Well, he's taken care of that. I think he has four now. He's batting like 430-something over the last 7 to 10 days, somewhere in that time frame. It's very good, and you put them all together with Adolis and Nate Lowe, who had a nice hitting streak, shaved his mustache to get out of a little funk. And they're doing this without Corey Seager.
Right.
And, you know, I talked to Corey after the game Sunday. He was only throwing, you know, and that's all he's been doing. He didn't know a timeline. He didn't know when he would start swinging a bat.
Soft tissue, man. Start
running. So maybe the 4 weeks was a little bit, you know, that's the short
premature
end of it.
Yeah.
Short end of it. It may be a little bit longer, but, and they're doing it without Mitch Garver, who is doing everything. He is doing everything. And yet he also doesn't know a timeline either, but he said he doesn't have any pain in his knee. He's squatting, he's throwing, he's hitting. So, it may be that he gets back before, Corey does, but you never know. But anyway, this team is in first place. Like you mentioned, they're beating good teams. They're beating bad teams. They have a test coming up. You know, they have a tough stretch with this four-game Yankee series, two against the Diamondbacks, who are in first place, and then they go on a long West Coast road trip. So I think things are going to start to get a little hairy for them. But right now, you really got to like the Texas Rangers, you know, and then we'll get into this in a little bit. But, you know, their farm system's been doing very good. Yeah. Round Rock's awesome. Cody Bradford, our guest, has been one of the best pitchers in the minor leagues.
Right.
So there's depth in addition to success on the big league level. So you're really, and it's only April, there's 135 games left to go.
Yeah.
Lots can happen, and it does happen in baseball. You know, it does happen in baseball. But right now, it's very clear that the pieces are in place for the Rangers to be good for an extended stretch.
Yeah, this is the Rangers coming out of a lull from the rebuild. And when we talked last week with Josh Neid, who said that the Reds, who the Rangers are playing tonight, which when you see this, it'll be over. He said the Reds are kind of in that spot where their farm system's just really good right now.
Yeah.
And you're anxious to see kind of the kids get up here and start as they start to turn that corner and get to where they are. The Rangers have gone through the lull. They went through the rebuild. Nobody says now we're in the back end of the rebuild. They say we are not rebuilding anymore. Yeah. We are playing to win.
Yeah.
And they have touted that over and over.
Right.
That we expect to win now, and they came out of the barrel doing that. Now, got to hold it all year long. The other teams in the West are good.
Yeah.
I mean, the other teams in baseball are good.
Like the Rangers may end up in fourth place.
Yeah,
but they're just so much better than last year.
But they're not going to sit around and make excuses. If you're not performing and if you're not holding up to help them win, I really think this year your look will be over and you'll go to another place and they'll try to get the person in here that's going to help out.
Yeah. And then to your point about the farm system, I mean, all of this is pretty much bought and paid for through free agency, or a lot of it is.
Right.
But
your depth.
Next year is when you're going to have to see some starters slide in.
Yep.
And, you know, who knows? It may be Dunning or Reagans. It may be our buddy Cody Bradford. Maybe Cole Wynn, who pitched well Sunday.
Yeah, he did pitch very well.
Kamar Rocker, you know,
who's been great.
You know, he gave up three runs in his last start in the first inning and then didn't give up anything else.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I said this in our last show the other day. It's just so weird for us to be talking about all this positive stuff, you know.
We were scrambling there for a while a couple of years ago when we were doing this.
And there's some things that you can be worried about. You can be worried about, there's not a ton of production in left field. Robbie Grossman swung it pretty well over the weekend, but that's not settled. It looks like Eliody Taveras is coming in.
Starting to catch up.
And, you know, you hope that works out, but that's not settled. You know, there is the Seager injury, you know, that you gotta be a little bit concerned about. You probably go to double A, and some people are worried about Jack Leiter, who had another rough start Sunday with walking 5 2⅓ innings. So it's not, you know, you look at the triple A lineup, there are some guys who should not be hitting below 200 who are hitting below 200, same thing at double A, but it's still early for them too. So you got to be patient on that end. But,
and your top prospect is performing like your top prospect.
Right. Yeah. So that's a positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But as I wrote last week in Friday on the Farm at RangerCity.com for $5.99
$60 a year, $35 a year. For 6 months.
Evan Carter doesn't need to be in the major leagues right now, or probably not this season. But yeah. Anyway.
We're going to argue about that. You know, he doesn't need to be here right now. I agree with that, too. But I think that kid's coming here this year. But with that, we got all season to talk about that. Let's get Cody in here and talk to him before we go down in the bus leagues. Cody Bradford coming next, brought to us by the Frisco Rough Riders. We'll be back right after this. Joining us right now from Round Rock, Texas, where the Round Rock Express just came off the road, is Texas Rangers left-handed pitcher Cody Bradford. This one's brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders, who always sponsor our guests. Cody, what's going on, bud?
Man, not much. How are you guys? Jeff and John, thanks for having me on for a second time now.
You're welcome. Former Frisco Rough Rider player.
Former Frisco Rough Rider. That's right.
Now chilling in Round Rock.
Hey, don't worry. Round Rock has got some stuff working with us, too. We're going to be doing some stuff with them also. But, of course, by that time, you may be in the big leagues. Who knows? We may get there, and he'll just keep jumping ahead of us.
Yeah, if you keep pitching like this, it's going to be hard to keep you down. What is working? I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Well, I got to say, the defense has played really well behind me. I got to give credit to those guys. This past week in Sacramento, Clint Frazier was playing left field, the game I was pitching, and jumped up over the wall, I think in the fourth or fifth inning, and acted like, I mean, robbed the home run, came back down, but made no signal that he caught it or anything. And so the Sacramento fans are going crazy. The guy who hit it's just trotting around the bases. And then Clint real nonchalantly pulls the ball out and throws it in. And then we all go crazy. And then their guy just kind of like slaps his helmet, like, what's going on? So,
had they set off any fireworks or played any like that's natural
the
music?
They hadn't. I think the music might have been going, but they didn't have any fireworks or anything like that.
All right, well,
funny.
Okay, but it's not all your defense. I mean, although when you're going good, you want to get the ball put in play. Sure. What would you say is your contribution to this success?
Yeah. Let's be non-humble for just a second. And tell us what you're doing that's working.
I think something that's differentiated this year from last year that has led to success has been the addition of a cutter. I know I played around with it a little bit at the end of last year in Frisco, but the Rangers pitching department kind of helped me find the right characteristics for that pitch this offseason and really narrow down what they wanted out of it and what they think would play the best. And it's been a go-to ground ball pitch, and it's been a pitch that's really, definitely not taken over the changeup, but it's definitely taken over the third spot in the pitch repertoire and in usage. But yeah, that's really been the big key for this year.
Yeah. Last year, you finished really well. You didn't really necessarily have a great first part of the season, but you finished really well. And then you go to big league spring training, get to work with the Maddoxes, get to work with a lot of guys. There's got to be some confidence backing you up there too.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the momentum off of last year, like you said, Jeff, like finishing the year strong definitely led into confidence going into my first big league camp, which was exciting, thrilling. It was everything I could have hoped for. And, you know, I got to be a part of that for about 2 weeks, hang out with the big leaguers, ask them questions, got to meet Mike and Greg and pick Greg's brain a lot. And I would agree with that. You know, getting to be a part of big league camp gave me a confidence going into this year that's just made it easier to go out and have fun instead of putting so much expectations and stress on every outing. It's just enjoying the game.
I've known the Maddoxes since 2009, since Mike first came to the Rangers. I know how Mike is. I know a little bit about Greg, but they just like talking pitching. And you know, and I know Greg was there And everybody kind of thinks, oh, he's just Mike's brother. But he was getting in there. I mean, he was digging in. What is it like to talk pitching with a Hall of Fame pitcher?
Tell you what, Greg was, yeah, like you said, he was really active this spring training, in bullpen sessions and with PFPs and just all around the field, which was an honor to have him as part of the team this spring. He makes pitching sound super easy when it's just not. And I mean, what can you expect a guy, a Hall of Famer like that? Like,
yeah,
not saying the game came easier to him, but he's able to explain it in a way that's just in layman's terms. It's like, well, you know, you got a 3-2 count. What are you going to throw? That's easy. Throw a strike. It's not throw a changeup, throw a slider, throw a fat. No, throw a strike. Throw your most strikeable pitch. And I think he was standing in on one of my bullpens, and I was struggling with my changeup a little bit, and said something like, hey, man, just what are you thinking about finishing right now? And I said, well, I'm kind of thinking about, you know, on the inside and on top of the ball and out front. And he's like, no. Just take your hand, take it to your opposite knee. Just throw the ball and take your hand to your opposite knee. Just as easy as that. Next pitch, perfect changeup, down and away. The guy, he just knows baseball inside now. He knows pitch inside now.
Well, one thing that was said back when the first go around was somebody told me that Greg Maddux could have any job in baseball he wanted. Because he's so smart, he could be a GM, he could do whatever he wanted because he just understands the game. Of course, a lot of guys who have his level of success don't want to do that. You know, they want to just stay in the game on the periphery. Plus, he had two kids who were in high school and college at the time, and so it never developed. But I mean, he could be, you know, Mike is, of course, is a great pitching coach. He could be a great pitching coach too. And
yeah.
He was actually at the ballpark Sunday, just in street clothes, hanging out. I don't know what he was doing, but he went on the field and talked to guys. And
really? You know, I didn't realize he was in town.
Yeah. Well, you should check out my Twitter feed a little more often, John. And anyway.
Sunday's church day, man. I was it was a busy day.
The ballpark has been my cathedral for the last 16 years.
I know.
All right, so and Round Rock – you're having success, but the team's having a ton of success.
Yeah, they're doing good.
A very good team. The bats have started to come alive. What's the vibe like down there?
Winning is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. The vibe's great. I think, pitching has been solid. A lot of the other guys have been throwing the ball well. The bullpen has been phenomenal. I mean, lights out almost every time they get the opportunity. And like you said, like you guys said, the bats have been coming alive and we're just on a roll and trying to keep it going.
I mean, that's a lot of talent.
Yeah, it is.
At AAA. I mean, you were with it last year, AA. You moved up with a lot of it this year. There's kind of like a continuity. How well do you guys know each other? And like, you know, do you know what they're going to order for dinner or things like that? But
we're going to get into that.
but what's that like to be at the same group a couple of years in a row? It's like you're on a different team, but you're on the same team.
Definitely the position players, it feels like the same team. You know, the infield's young. You got Davis Wenzel at third, J.O. at short, Foscue at second, and then Krim working in at first. And J.P. in the outfield, Sandro, Fabian in the outfield. So all those guys who I've played with before and either in 2021 in Frisco or last year. And it's nice to have familiar faces behind you when you're playing, for sure.
Yeah.
It's also cool to get to learn from guys like Yoshi Susugo, who's, you know, an international guy. And I think he played with the Pirates last year and he's got some big league time. And then even when Sandy Leone was down here the first 2 weeks, oh my gosh, like what a catcher. He was calling pitches that I would have never called in that sequence. And after the first game, I think I actually shook him off twice. Opening day or the my first outing, and one of them got hit for a single and the other one was just a non-competitive pitch. And then after that I was like, all right, I'm not shaking Sandy off. And then arguably my best one in Sugarland, where we went six innings with one hit and Sandy was just phenomenal. So learning a lot for sure, but it's nice to have those familiar faces around you as well.
Your wife is with you, I'm assuming.
Yes, sir.
You guys aren't commuting from Waco, I'm assuming.
We're not.
But do you still have a roommate, or are you, like last year, there seemed like there's a cluster of married couples. Are you guys still clustering?
Yeah, we are. My wife Maddie and I are rooming with Chase and his wife Claire. Chase Lee.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Okay. We roomed with them in Frisco last year before he got called up, and then Zach Kent moved in, and then he got called up, and so it's, I don't know. We seem to have good luck with whoever we're rooming with seems to get called up. So hopefully that can stay true this year, and Chase gets an opportunity later this year.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully you get an opportunity.
Yeah, no kidding.
How closely do you watch the big league team?
We watch a decent amount of the big league games. Mostly just to learn stuff and how they're pitching guys, you know, what they're doing differently than we are.
Do you look at Jacob DeGrom and just throw it out and be like, all right, nobody can do that? do you move on to the next guy?
He is pretty special. I mean, I think one day he's going to be in Greg Maddux's shoes where somebody's going to ask him, hey, like, Jacob, how did you attack right-handed hitters or left-handed hitters? What'd you do different? And he's going to say, man, I just threw the ball by him. Like, it's that easy.
101 miles an hour, man.
Yeah, man. I really think that in the first inning – yesterday, his start Sunday, I think it was the second batter. It was kind of, it went like five pitches deep.
Yeah.
I think he reached back. I really genuinely think that for a guy who's as smooth with his mechanics and has what he has, I really think he reached back and just was like tired of the guy, just popped 101 and blew it past him. And the guy had no chance. And I, you know, what a weapon, you know, to have. 101.
Cody, why aren't you throwing 101 miles an hour?
I'll tell you, John, if I knew the answer, then man.
Although, you know, velocity increase is possible. Your buddy Cole Reagans. What have you thought about that?
Yeah, I talked to Cole a lot this spring training. He worked out a lot he did Tread Athletics, which is really up and coming in the pitching world with the biomechanics of pitching, pitch design. But he did a remote learning or remote, I guess, workout session with them all off season and had a big jump in velo. I would say, I guess last year when he was in Frisco, I'm not quite sure what he was at the end of the year in the big leagues, but I know last year in Frisco when he was starting, he was probably 92 to 95. And then this spring he was, I mean, he touched 99 and it seemed like he was sitting 97, 98.
Right. Yeah.
I really think he just put in a lot of work in the weight room and with his mechanics, really trying to be as efficient as he can throwing the ball.
Have you talked cutter with him? Because
I have, yeah.
Yeah, that was something that he changed last year and had really good success with.
Yes. Yeah, he started, I think he might have, I mean, when Martin Perez started throwing his cutter a lot last year, I think they kind of started, the Rangers pitching development kind of started having some other lefties in the order doing it. And I think Cole was one of the first ones to hop on board and really helped him. And so when I started learning it last year, I was texting him back and forth and being like, hey, where are your hands on the ball? Like, show me your grip. You know, are you trying to, what location are you trying to do when you're first learning it? Are you just trying to throw it down the middle? Are you trying to throw a glove side? Like what counts? And he helped me out a lot with that, trying to just be as consistent as I can to my glove side part of the plate with the cutter to start. So,
yeah, the cutter does seem like a pitch that's gaining popularity with the Rangers. And I think the split is also for right-handers with Evaldi is also kind of gaining. But even I think Lucas Jacobson said he'd talked to Evaldi about throwing a split. You know, just something different, a different look, a different way to move it, different speed. It's pretty genius what these guys can do. And you know, you want to call it analytics or whatever. It's just a change in science. And you still got to go out and execute the pitch.
Well, look, major league hitters, if you throw a ball 98 miles an hour straight down the middle and it doesn't move, major league hitters can hit that.
Yeah.
I mean, they can get the timing. It doesn't matter if you're throwing 90 or 98. If the ball does something or does, you know, in midair or does something, or you fool them with where you release it, or whatever. That's how these pitchers survive. It looks the same coming out of the hand, but it moves differently every time. It's not hitting it flush. Yeah, they're swing and miss, and that's great. But when you're not hitting it flush, like Cody said, your defense is there to make a play for you, and it really helps.
Yeah, yeah. Put those guys to work. That's what that's what they're there for.
They a lot of because big league hitters do something that I never could do. They put a barrel on the ball. That's what they do.
Well, you know, and it's pretty amazing how they do hit mistakes. I mean, you know, DeGrom threw the hanging slider to Langoliers. The first home run that Adolis Garcia hit Saturday was from that Japanese pitcher who'd been throwing 100 miles an hour, and kid hung a splitter, and he dropped it into the second deck.
I mean, yeah.
These hitters are good, so you got to have all you got. So more power to you, Cody.
Yeah, I can.
And also, we got to be remiss if we didn't mention Cody's backdrop there, the maroon bells in Colorado near Aspen. Rabbit Ears Pass, beautiful scenery there. It really is something it's a sight to behold. So,
yes, Jeff, we know you're from Colorado.
As a Colorado native. Although, you know, I do, you know, you see how beautiful that is. And I am now on the record with several people saying the most beautiful place I've ever been is Augusta National. So I went there a couple weeks ago, Cody, for the Wednesday practice round, and it was fantastic.
All I got was a stupid hat.
So whether you're a golf fan or not, when you retire 15, 20 years down the road, you got to go to Augusta. So anyway, that's me on my soapbox for now, but it's time for me to hand it over to John like I did last time with you, and he's going to pepper you with a bunch of
hard-hitting
questions
in there. So last time we kind of went over where you grew up and all of that, going to school. We talked a little about food. I'm going to get into some of your teammates now and have some fun with it. So you've been playing with these guys. Like you said, you moved up with a lot of these guys in the organization. Tell me of the guys you played with the last couple of years. They don't have to be on the team now, too. They can be up or down or whatever. Who's the best dressed in that clubhouse or that you've been around?
You can vote for yourself.
It's definitely not me. Maybe this year, who I've just met this year, probably Clint Frazier.
Really?
Clint Frazier. He has, he's been in the big leagues for a little bit, but he has an enormous shoe collection, and he's got some drip game when it comes to his outfits and his shoes. Rumor has it he has over 800 pairs of shoes to choose from.
Good Lord. That's like a wife.
It's worse than a wife.
You know what? We're doing it real quick. We got to say hi to Cody's dad, who your dad would always come up to me if I was at Frisco and say hi. He's a big listener of the show and all of that. But we got to say hi to Mr. Bradford because he is a big fan.
All right.
All right. I forget while I think about it.
Yeah, you can say hi to him too if you want. On Clint Frazier, John Ornelas voted for Clint Frazier also.
That's two.
That's right. So Clint Frazier, apparently he's got
he's got game, apparently.
Yeah.
He's got some game in there. Who's the funniest guy? Who's the guy that keeps everybody in stitches and laughing?
Matt Whatley's probably the funniest guy.
We've heard that before.
Yeah. His antics and just his charisma, it's pretty entertaining.
You know, I'm finding this next question disappointing because it doesn't sound like it's done as much, but who's the prankster? Does anybody pull pranks anymore? I'm used to hear all these funny stories in the old days. Is there a prankster?
You know, I don't know. I can't speak for the bullpen. You know, maybe they're doing something down there that I don't know about, but there's not a whole lot that goes on in the dugout nowadays. I'm trying to think. Last year, we would do our fair share of pranks every now and then in Frisco, but so far in AAA, it seems to be we're down to business, so...
What's the best prank you've seen?
Do what?
What's the best prank you've seen? You said there was some last year, but
in Frisco last year, in the stadium, in the dugout itself, I guess if you guys have been in the dugout, they're a little older. They're real deep in the ground, so they built up this wooden platform that guys kind of go stand on the rail, and some of the netting at the bottom was coming loose, and so we unraveled some of it last year, where we had about, I don't know, 4 foot, 5 foot span of just string that's attached to the railing, that we could do something with. And so a couple of us got the idea that whoever standing up there who wasn't in the game that day, whether it was a position player or a pitcher, we would kind of reach that string around and tie it on their shoelace. And then when they try and go hop down and go get a, I don't know, drink of water or high five somebody, like their shoe stuck to the fence and they didn't even realize it. So that's probably the best thing we did last year.
That's pretty good though.
That is good.
You can ask Jack. we got him a couple times. I'm sure he got a couple people with it, but yeah, it was pretty funny.
That's good. I like that one.
So another good one is the back alley fight. Somebody throws down, who do you want standing with you? You're like me, you're a lover, not a fighter, but let's say it's going to go down. You can't get out of it. Who's the guy that you want standing with you in that situation?
Probably Elier Hernandez. He's a big mm-hmm. dude.
He is Ooh, big. He's big. He's sneaky dude. Big.
Yeah. Him or maybe he may not look the part just because of his height, but Fernie Ozuna is a bulldog and that dude is ripped. And I bet he could I bet he could take anybody.
Does he still have his head shaved?
He does.
Yeah. That adds some fear factor right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A guy like that who's little, that's what I always lived by when I was little. I was really little. That's how I would try to get out of fights. I would say, look, if you probably can kick my rear end, and that's fine. But if I win, you got to explain to people how I won. So you might have to think about that, and you're going to have to kill me because I'm going to go crazy. I don't want to do this. But Ozuna looks the part, though. I was not intimidated.
He sounds like – I talked to a couple people about him. I didn't speak with him because he was late to camp, and we just kept missing each other. But he sounds like a very interesting guy. Like, he's into architecture and you know, just apparently he – and maybe you can relate to this because you're kind of I don't know what the right word is. You have other interests.
Yeah.
Have you found that to be true about him, that he's really got to peel back the onion on him?
Mm-hmm. Fernie is definitely to himself. I say to himself, more to himself. You got to approach him to have a conversation, but he is one of the most genuine human beings that I've met in pro ball yet, and second to none. Like, he's one of the best teammates I've ever had. So, and he does. He has interests. He's big into Formula One racing. So he'll watch like all of Formula One. So he has his iPad that he brings to the field. He'll watch all Formula One races every week. Big into cars and auto. Also architecture. Interesting. He's an interesting guy.
He should go to the F1 race in Austin. Or is it moving?
I don't know. Is there one coming?
They've had one the last few years.
Okay.
Down
there. There is one in Austin. There's one in Austin this year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wait, let me tell you what. I got into NASCAR because I used to work for a company that sponsored NASCAR.
You can say the company.
Yeah. Interstate Batteries. There you go. That's who I worked for. And they had a car. And so I got into it. Now, I tried to stay into it afterwards, but it's really a lot of guys taking left turns.
Yeah.
It's really all it is, really fast. I mean, it's cool to meet the drivers. I mean, I couldn't do it. I couldn't go 200 miles an hour and talk on a radio the way they do when they're just like, yeah, the left rear feels like I'm losing some air back there or something.
Yeah.
I would be screaming at 200 miles an hour. That's how most of us live. Let me ask you this. Is there anything you and your wife are binge watching right now? Anything that, you guys are watching?
We've been watching Ted Lasso.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
I've only watched the first episode of this year, so don't ruin anything for me. But how deep into it are you?
We're on the current up-to-date season, so season 3, I think now. I think it's season 3 that's out.
Yeah, that's a darn good show.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. The premise is pretty funny. It was pretty interesting how they did.
I love Roy Kent.
Yeah,
he's just his meanness and unfiltered cussing. It's fantastic.
So this year you're flying more, but it usually on a flight or bus ride, is there something you do when you're on the trip that you, are you streaming something, watching something, or playing cards? What are you doing on a team flight or bus?
We have some of the guys have a card game on the phone that we play with each other. So it's friendly competition, goes a long ways. That's fun and passes time. And then there's nothing in particular. I'll usually read a book or watch YouTube videos or download something on Netflix.
Yeah.
What's the best book you've ever read?
Oh gosh.
Besides the Bible. That's always the easy one for us believers. You gotta go beyond that.
I read a book, the most One of the most recent books I've read was called, I'm trying to remember what it was called, actually. I can't even remember. That tells you how much I guess I liked it. But no, it was a really good book. It was about geopolitics, which may not sound interesting to some people, but I think on the first episode, one of the fun facts I said about myself is I'm really a big geography buff. And the book just broke down kind of how the world's boundaries and borders are, how they how they came to be. And that was a really good book.
That would be
That is
interesting.
pretty interesting.
Kind of see how the lines were drawn between everything. That would be interesting.
Well, I'd really be interested in knowing how Haiti and the Dominican Republic got separated, or and why there's a Haiti.
It was a badminton game. I know all about it.
I mean,
I think
it's
it's
really it is.
because France and Spain both claimed part of the same island, had to draw a line on it.
There you go. I mean, it's unbelievable that, I mean, it's not like the Dominican Republic is a flourishing country, but it's okay. It's like any place. It has its good parts and its bad parts. More third world people living in shacks and stuff. But I mean, Haiti is just really got the short end of the stick on the on Dominicana there. They really
The
got.
Haitians, it's just bad. All right, we'll get one more or two more out of here before we get you going. Hey, I don't know if you did it for AAA this year, because you were spending a lot of time last year. You've probably been to all of them. What's the best away stadium that you all play at that you think it's fascinating, or the city's good or whatever? What's a good away place?
For AAA or AA or just
any of them,
Any
any
of
of them.
them, yeah.
You've been everywhere.
For I guess seeing high A, my favorite was probably Greenville, South Carolina.
I've heard that.
Cool stadium, had the Green Monster. I think it's the Red Sox orcs. They have the Green Monster kind of left field. Great crowds every night. Double A, definitely Wichita.
Really?
Again, I think the stadium was built to be a triple A stadium. So the locker room, the weight room, everything just feels big. It's really nice. It's really new. Huge dugout. Probably the biggest dugout in pro ball that I've been to yet. And then in triple A, I've only been to three stadiums so far: Sacramento, Round Rock, and Sugar Land. So I'll have to wait till the end of the year to tell you my favorite.
All right. We'll find you and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I've been to the Sugar Land. It seemed okay.
They used to be an independent park, right? And then they ended up taking over
Right.
for the
Houston
Astro.
Bottom. Yeah.
Other
Say
guy,
what?
say Vegas. Their favorite stadium by far.
Vegas. It's pretty new too.
Yeah, that is. That may end up becoming a major league stadium here. Well, they're building something, aren't they?
Yeah, but I don't know. The lease is up after next year. I mean, staying around Oakland, what are you going to do?
Yeah, no kidding. You've ticked everybody
I
off.
mean, the Vegas stadium holds less than 10,000, but that's more you're going to draw in Oakland.
All right. Yep, exactly. Last one. Game day. You're pitching on 7:05, normal start, whatever. What is Cody Bradford's routine? What time are you up? You getting breakfast? When do you get to the park? What do you do on when you're starting?
Usually wake up at an average time for the season, so usually around 9 o'clock. I like to sleep in around 9. Get up, me and my wife have breakfast. It's usually just here at the apartment: eggs, scrambled eggs, toast, oatmeal, fruit, nothing too fancy. And then I like to do a scouting report as soon as the opposing lineup comes out. So I usually take notes on the hitters throughout the week when we're watching and kind of doing some scouting, but then put together a full scouting report before the game that evening, before I get to the field. And then head to the field. Usually, if it's a 7:05 game, usually about 3 hours before. So I'll get there about 4 o'clock and just hang out, grab some grub, whatever they had at lunch that day, and just chill the field until game time. It's pretty easy going.
What time do you start, like, stretching or if you get a little
Yeah, usually, yeah, usually
massage
like
or something?
an hour and a half before the game, so probably 5:30. All right,
All right,
hit
then
the
you hit the
field
field
in
and
what, 30
30
minutes
minutes
prior? Yeah,
prior.
I get to the field 30 minutes early to start throwing and warming up in the bullpen.
All right. Anything else before we get him out of here?
No, but if you want to read a book that's not geopolitical, You should read Lonesome Dove. You're a native Texan, and maybe you've already read it, but it's almost 900 pages, but it's a classic, and it's the best book I've ever read. It actually kind of took me off of reading. It was so good. Like, ever since I was a big reader.
McMurtry. You like McMurtry then.
And then I read that, and it was like, I might be done. there are a couple prequels that he wrote after it that I read.
Yeah.
But then after that, it's been very sporadic. So that's a good one. And it'll kill a lot of times. Yeah. It'll take you some time to get through it.
You're not going
to
get through it on a bus ride.
Take the whole year.
All right. That's Cody Bradford. Cody, hey, that's it. We'll get him out of here. Man, thanks for stopping down. I know you guys just got back off the road. Have a great week this week. Another good start. Keep things going the way it is, man. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, thank y'all so much for having me on.
All right, man.
Cody Bradford. Thanks, Cody. When we come back, guys, we're going to go down in the bus league. Frisco Rough Riders and Cody Bradford for joining us right now. It's time to go down in the bus leagues and talk about the minor league system.
Yeah.
Let me go down the records real quick. Guys, right. It hasn't changed too much from last Friday, but we'll go ahead and do it. Down East is low A. They're 6-8 overall, 3-7 in their last 10, and they've lost two. Hickory Crawdads, they're the ones that are on the hot streak. They're 9-4 overall, 7-3 in their last 10, and they've won five in a row. Frisco is 8-7, another winning record right there, 6-4 in their last 10, and they've won one. And you got Round Rock Express, they're 13-7, 7-3 in their last 10, and they won their last ball game. Go down to Down East. There's not too much else unless something happened over the weekend from down there.
They got a lift from Yosi Gallon, the very interesting story.
The Grand Slam.
Walk off, big home run for him.
Yeah.
Was it
a grand slam or was it just?
I'm not sure. He's kind of getting lost in the mix. He strikes out a ton, tremendous raw power, but he's also there with Morobel and Gutierrez, and they're going to get their time in the outfield. They're just better prospects. So,
right.
But good for him. And you know, you're going to see guys start to pick it up as they get their at bats and whatever. Cam Colley.
Right.
Fully expect him to be a better hitter than he's been so far.
Right.
On the pitching side, Brock Porter's the guy to watch down there. But a lot of guys who have been, they have like 10 or 12 starters. So right now there's a lot of piggybacking, keeping guys short in starts. Like Dylan McClain, fourth rounder in 2020.
Yeah, that.
He's been working in relief. And anyway, again, as we keep saying with that level, it's a roller coaster, and there's going to be some highs and there's going to be some lows. And right now, there's some lows, but
they're the only losing team in the system, but they're the babies also. And they're going to
a lot of talent. Yeah. They're very young.
Yeah.
Very young players.
Speaking of very, very young, when is the ACL and DSL, do they both start around the same time?
Yeah, roughly. Yeah.
Is that the June?
It starts in June. It's going before the draft. If they want to get drafted players in there. I think they end around the same time. So, not full seasons, obviously. They keep the season.
They don't have short season anymore. They used to have short season. Right. Now they go to the complexes. Yeah. Hickory Crawdads, again, Rocker gave up three in the first inning, right? And then ended up, how many?
Just straight dominating. Ended up with 8 strikeouts, 2 walks.
Yeah.
And I had written, and I think we said it, he's going to have a rough one. And
yeah.
But if 3 runs in the first is his rough one, all right.
Yeah.
Let's go. But that team can pitch.
Well, he's facing batters that are far better than SEC players. I mean, yeah. That's what he's starting to run into, even in high A.
Sure.
Even in high A.
That team can pitch. I think we sold their lineup short in our last podcast. Max Acosta is doing really, really well. The prize of the 2019 international signing class back when it was in July, he's been really good. He kind of you know, that 2021 season, he had thoracic outlet syndrome.
Right.
Didn't get to finish in the ACL. He went to low A last year, had his moments, ended up having a decent year. This year he's gotten off to a really, really good start. So good for him. And then another guy we need to look at, and this is another interesting guy, is Josh Hatcher, first baseman. He was the 10th round pick last year from Kennesaw State, which I'm assuming is in Georgia.
Yeah, that's where.
But he was a grad transfer or a fourth-year transfer from Mississippi State. So he won a national title at Mississippi State. He knows Justin Foscue.
Right.
The Rangers have had some good success with Mississippi State first baseman and Mitch Moreland and Nate Lowe. So
Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah, exactly. Rafael Palmeiro. So, you know.
Will Clark.
God dang it. Yeah. So I was just thinking recently, but you're right. So he's had a nice stretch here. He hits for power, hits for average. I mean, he's a polished college hitter. He did well last year. He played in the complex league, then went to low A. Now he's in high A, and first base, the Rangers don't have a ton of depth.
No, they
don't.
And
you know, we've talked about it, our buddy Blaine Krim, and that's it. You know, and right. And I would now
put, unless someone makes a position,
I would now put Josh Hatcher into that position, and and Dustin Harris is playing some first base, so right. I think that kind of speaks to where the Rangers might have some concerns about first base. But I know Cody mentioned Yossi Tsugo, who seems like a good guy, had a fun little moment with a walk-off single a couple weeks ago or 10 days ago. He's really, I know he's not a prospect. He came from Japan, really was a star in Japan, had a 38 homer season.
I think. A big following in spring training.
Yeah.
Of media.
The Japanese media. It just hasn't translated to the major leagues. You look at his triple A numbers, you're like, this is a pretty good player.
Yeah.
But it just hasn't translated. So I don't know.
Does he have an opt-out?
I would assume so. You know, the Japanese reporters were talking about after he was assigned to minor league camp, they were saying that he was considering his options. Apparently, he has just tons and tons of choices if he ever wants to go back to Japan.
Sure.
But apparently he wants to
play in the big leagues.
Wants to prove it.
Yep.
And hasn't worked yet. Doesn't mean it's not going to work. It may work for the Rangers, may not. You never know. I mean, it could be. I don't want to compare him to Matt Carpenter because Carpenter is a three-time All-Star, but Matt Carpenter worked out his swing mechanics last year for Round Rock.
Yep.
He spent the first 6 weeks of the season there, got an opportunity, opted out, became this cult hero in Yankee Stadium with his mustache. He had to shave the beard, but he kept the mustache, got hurt, wasn't the same after that, and really never got – broke his foot, never – he played in the postseason, but – not like he just wasn't the same, and he's had some nice games for the Padres. It translated into him continuing his career. So maybe something happens for Yossi Tsugo. But
is he the one that hit the ball that got robbed at the ballpark when what's his name went up over and made that tremendous?
No, that was G-Man Choi.
Choi. Okay. All right. Yeah. I knew it was one of the Pacific Rim guys that did that. Okay.
Oh, we got some. Got some news here on the email. Hang on a second. It'll be old news by the time we get to our thing. By the time this launches, the episode is out. But Adolis Garcia selected American League Player of the Week.
All right. So,
shouldn't be a surprise. He batted 400 with a 1500 OPS.
He seemed like he had a game in there. That
four
was
homers,
good.
Two doubles, 14 RBIs, and 8 runs scored. So
yeah,
his
yeah.
14 RBIs led all major league players.
Absolutely. Good all for right. Adolis. It's good to bring that up in the minor league segment. Yeah. But that's when it broke.
And hey,
that's when we're on it. Frisco Rough Riders, we already went over their record there. The only thing, the news coming out of there, which you confirmed wasn't as bad as we thought, was the Evan Carter got hit by a pitch. I happened to see that. Ended up leaving the game and leaving the stadium. Came back for the second game. Didn't play. Then he didn't play over the weekend.
Yeah.
You called your buddy.
Ross Fenstermaker.
Okay, so I didn't know if we could say the name, but
I texted him, and, he didn't say it wasn't on the record, so shit, and here we go.
But, yeah. He said he's good.
Said all good.
All good.
Just a little sore.
So. Yeah, a little sore. There was not. They did an X-ray. Nothing was there. So
that's what they said.
Yeah. So it's something to that effect. We knew that by the end of that night. So that was good. Especially when it's top prospect. They're going to Amarillo tonight.
Oh man. He's gonna want to be healthy for that. Yeah, he's gonna want to. They all love hitting an Amarillo.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Since we last spoke, and you know, we mentioned Leiter earlier, had a another rough one, but still not gonna push any panic buttons yet. Nobody should.
Somebody wrote a great article about him that I read. I forget who it was. It wasn't one of our guys here that we know, but that said that watching him, they kept referring to the fact that his stuff is major league stuff. If you watch it, if he can control any of it, all of it plays.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're not getting behind, that's what I've said over and over again. It sounded like
he was the second overall pick. I get it. He pitched one full season in college.
Right.
You know, last year was his second. Well, I mean, last year was his first pro season, but he's pretty inexperienced.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some things to work on. There's no doubt about it. And I think he admitted that when he was on our podcast during spring training. He would probably admit that right now if we were to call him up and say, "Hey, Jack, what's going on?" He'd say, "I got some things to work on. We're working on it."
Right.
He's a cerebral guy. It's more of a process for him. Whereas like Kumar Rocker just wants to go out and kill somebody. Jack wants to understand why he's not being successful and why he's not.
Yeah. So what's working, what isn't, and why
there's different ways to go about it. But keep in mind that he's super talented, has great stuff. Rangers don't need him right now.
Right.
And you know, you can take your time. Everybody comes in, everybody develops at their own pace. And we'll see. We'll check back, I'm sure, on Jack every week. But by the end of June, let's say, we may not be having this conversation.
Yeah.
But anyway, and Ryan Garcia pitched well, our buddy.
I was trying to find the line on that.
He gave up one run in four innings. So that was good.
That's what I was trying to figure out. I knew Ryan pitched, and I didn't hear what he had done. I usually keep up with minor league stuff while I'm doing stuff around the house. And for some reason, I'd forgotten to catch up on that. We go to Round Rock now to finish it out. They're playing well. And Cody, who we've just talked to.
Yeah, he gave us a very thorough breakdown. I mean, he's right. I mean, the starting pitching has been pretty good, with him and Colwin had a nice start Sunday. But they're giving Kyle Cody a shot in the rotation again. That might be out of need. I haven't asked about that. But the bullpen's been very good, and you know, the relievers, they do have young guys like Fernery Osuna and Chase Lee, but they have some guys at a major league time.
Yeah.
And that's showing. And Joe Barlow keeps pitching well. So I just think at some point Joe Barlow's gonna be back. Don't know who it'll be for, because you know, it's not like there's anybody pitching like crap in the big leagues right now. If they were to say Ian Kennedy, well, Ian Kennedy, they really like the way he has helped these young guys like Dunning and Reagan's figure things out. So, but Joe's doing just fine. I think he just needs to pick up that velocity a little bit more.
Yeah. And, you know, I was talking with a couple of guys, Travis and Chris Henderson down there. We got into the talk about AA, AAA, and the difference and all of that. Another reason why the AAA team is doing well is they do have some of their prospects there. And when you get into AA and AAA, I always try to describe the difference is when you've got a good prospect at AAA, it's because he's blocked.
Yeah.
He's blocked. When they come up young and they get to AAA, there's nowhere to go in the big leagues, and that's why they're playing at AAA. But your AA is usually where your more talented prospects get to, and usually they may spend a little time at AAA before coming up. But AAA is kind of where guys that are peripheral, those what they call them, the 4A guys?
4A players,
They go up and down and do that. But when you have your prospects there, the only reason that Foscue's not up here is you don't have a place to play, right? Yeah. You look at some of these guys that are playing out in the field, J.P. Martinez, who's just killing the ball right now. He wasn't a top prospect, but now he's kind of come back up again. He's doing well. These guys don't have anywhere to go right now because at the big league level, they're playing well. But this is a talented team down there. And even the free eight, look at Tsutsugo, who has all these opportunities in Japan. He's hanging around. That's a big league first baseman. There's nowhere to go right now at the big league level here. So I'm going to assume that he's probably going to opt out in his time when it's done. And he'll get a big league job,
I bet. We'll see. Foscue, you mentioned him. He's turned it on here a little bit. I think he's up to three or four home runs. So, I think we mentioned it last time. Aaron Zavala, when he's healthy, which should be in about 3 or 4 weeks, probably 3 weeks. They may start him at AAA. And there are people who think that of all the Rangers outfield prospects, that he's the one who's going to help the major league team this year. Just such a good hitter. And we'll see. We'll, and anyhow, you know, there is more of a need in a corner or left field. So anyway, he's got to do it, of course.
Yep. But he's got to perform when he gets there. And he's going to be behind, so he may start off slow like anybody. He's got to get his ABs. He's probably going to start an ACL if they're playing. No, they're not going to be playing.
He'll play in sim games. And
I was about to say, there's no ACL to play in.
The pitching he'll see will be much better than what he's going to see in Arizona. But they'll. But then again, there are some good guys down there right now.
Yep.
Rehabbing. Ricky Venasco, he should be back maybe by the time this airs. So, anyway.
That's it.
It's more good news. The more, you know.
Where are you going this week?
I'm going to Charleston, South Carolina.
I've been there. Watch Clemson play baseball there.
All right. I've been there. I've only flown in and out of there. The Rangers opened 2012. Or they didn't open it, but they played an exhibition game at Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just one. But anyway, they played one, and I flew in, drove to Myrtle because there were no flights to Myrtle. Did the game or two. I don't remember. We went because, you know, they hadn't finalized the roster yet, so they ended up finalizing the roster there, and it was the year that Mason Tobin made the bullpen. And also, God dang it, why can't I think of his name? This is going to kill me. This is just absolutely going to kill me. I'm going to have to look this up. You know, reliever, right-hander, wore his hat crooked, had a raspy voice.
No. What year?
2012. He then went on to the Cubs. I think he's still in the major leagues. Pedro Strop.
Yeah.
God dang it, Pedro Strop.
I said Cordero, but yeah.
Anyway, so Pedro Strop made the team. And I remember my flight was so early the next day, and I had to drive back to Charleston, that by the time I got in the elevator, the players were just getting back from a night on the town in Myrtle Beach. and Pedro had made the team, and I think Pedro had a few celebratory pops. But I always loved Pedro because of his voice.
Yeah.
Had a raspy. Yeah. And anyway.
Well, Charleston, South Carolina, I tell you, they used to. Now, I don't know if they're still there now, but they had a minor league team there. They were called the Capital City Bombers. Back when I went, they were high A. I think they were South Atlantic League for the Mets back then. But Clemson was there too. And 1 week, I had something I'd never had before. I went to the Capital City Bombers game, had a beer, and boiled peanuts.
I've had boiled peanuts.
They're amazing.
Yeah, you like them.
Did you not like them?
I like them.
Yeah, they're fantastic. If you've never had boiled peanuts, they're great. And then one of the best, Clemson played South Carolina. It was Clemson that played South Carolina in South Carolina, and it was like a 14-12 game. There were about 18 home runs. This is back using those drop 10 bats. Yeah, I mean, we're talking years ago. Anyway, we got to get out of here, guys. You're hitting the road this week. Thanks again for everybody that listens to this one. And until next time, we'll see you at the yard, guys.